Okay, this week's parasha is Tazria, Ki Tazria, Rosh Chodesh, Parsha Sachodesh. Parsha starts off by Daber Hashem al Moshe Leimo, Daber al Bnei Yisrael Leimo, Isha Ki Tazria v'Yolda Zacha. And Mefroshim will discuss what is the smichus of parashiyos between the beginning of Tazria and the end of Shemini. I'm sorry, before we start, just Yashkoich the Simcha for dedicating tonight's Jonathan Kugel, Gluya Nishmas, his father's Yartzeit, Reb David, Reb Avrom, Rishama Zobin and Aliyah.
Amen.
What's the connection between the end of Parshas Shemini and the beginning of Parshas Tazria? Shemini at the end discusses Machovos Asurois, what we're allowed to eat, what we're not allowed to eat, that which is kosher, what's not kosher, and Pashas Kisazria starts off with Isha, the older Zocho, she's Tomei, and it leads into the whole parsha of Tsaras, of a Negat Tsaras. This is a Ramban, Ayin Ramban. Mistral Solanta, however, says over a very nice idea. I think we mentioned this in the past, and that is that when it comes to Macholas Asurois, people are very careful what they eat. Everybody's careful. Something's treif, we stay far away from it. Not only that, but we look for a good heksher. Even if it has a heksher on it, this heksher is not good enough for me. Yeah. I need a better heksher. I like a better mashgiach. This is not good enough. We look for chumras. We find ways to eat what we feel is kosher.
That's good.
So the Muslim wife back home was kosher over trifle. It was not such a thing, more or less. Kosher period, trifle period.
You're right, it's good with kosher.
Isn't that the Shulchan?
Yes, 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 it's kosher. You're right.
What one more expression? So the Vietnam's couple of groups of kosher.
Pashas Tazria discusses Tzaras. And the Gemara tells us, what does the Tzaras come from? What Averis Tzaras come from? Tzaras comes from the Avera of Lashon Hara among other Averis. And says Rabbi Yisrael Salanta, just like a person is careful what he puts into his mouth, he's careful what ingredients go into the food that he eats, and he's careful whose heksher it is, should he eat it, shouldn't he eat it, is he allowed to eat it, the same way a person has to be careful what comes out of his mouth. What are the ingredients that are coming out of his mouth? Should he say it? Shouldn't he say it? Is it kosher to say it? Is it not kosher to say it? A person has to be very careful what comes out of his mouth. So therefore, Parshas Shemini ends off with Macholas Asurois. Parshas Tazria discusses the Indian of Lashon Hara. They're connected the same way we're careful what goes in. We have to be careful what comes out of our mouth. And somehow, the Yetzer Hara convinced us that eating, be very careful. But what comes out, somehow we tend to be very lax. And then as the Pasuk says later on, in Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Gimel, V'ro'oho ha-kayen v'timei oisai. The kayen sees him, and the kayen's metamei the nega. And we know that the tumma and the tahara depends upon the kayen. A person can have a nega, but until he shows it to the kayen, and the kayen actually sees the nega, and says tamei, he's 100% tahar. Once the Kohen says that word Tameh, he's 100% Tameh. And the same is true, how does he become Tahar? At the end of the week, or 2 weeks, he shows the Nega again to the Kohen, and the Kohen looks at the Nega. Even though the Nega already started to fade, the Nega started to go away, and he's Tahar, he remains Tameh until the Kohen says that magic word, the Kohen says the word Tahar. To teach the Metzaira a lesson. A person thought, you thought that words don't matter. I said something about Yenim. I spoke bad. What is words? Words don't do anything. Hurt, words can't words accomplish hurt. Anything. Words, it's only words. I didn't do anything. So Mita Kenegan Mita, we show him that words accomplish a lot. The Kohen, with one word, sentences him to be Metzaira, Tomei. And when he does tshuva, with one word, the Kohen tells him that he's Tahar. To teach a person the kayach of words, how powerful words are. And a person is very careful, of course, what comes out of his mouth. Rabbeinu Yair writes in Shari Tshuva, in Shar Gimel, Bahaloshain, Chetai Nokomeda, but Bahaloshain, one who speaks Lashon Hara, his chet is very light in his eyes. Ki Yaimai says, Eich devas, ach devas for Simon. It's only the lips. What did I do? I didn't do any actions. I didn't hurt any. I just said some words. Tzaras. The lesson of Tzaras is, words. Words have kayach. Chavetz Chaim compares the mouth to a keli that holds a precious treasure. Holds an oitzah, holds a treasure. The same mouth that we speak with, we use for tefillah, we use for Torah, we use for learning, Tehillim, the same mouth. The mouth is precious. It has diamonds in it. Tefillah, a person has to be careful not to ruin the treasure that he has. If he uses the mouth the wrong way, and the mouth is used to say Lashon Hara, and things that shouldn't be said, it dirties the mouth. The mouth is not clean. And the treasure in his mouth is affected. When the words of Tefillah come out, the words of Torah come out, it's affected by the mouth that's unclean. It says the Chavetz Chaim, imagine a restaurant. People come to eat, and they advertise that the food is the best, and the chef, world famous chef, and the food tastes delicious. And the guests come to eat, and the balabas is so excited, and he asks them, how was the food? They tell him, it was good, but something just wasn't right. Something was missing. Something wasn't right. The balabas is very taken aback. I have the most famous chef in the kitchen, best help in the kitchen. My food is fresh. It's all brought daily, and they measure, and they go ahead and make it the way it's supposed to be, to follow the recipes exactly. How could it be the food, something's not right? And the guests say to him, I don't know, the host says, come, I'll show you the kitchen. I want to take you on a tour of my kitchen, and I'll show you what precision goes into baking cooking the food and preparing the food. And he takes them into the kitchen, and they meet the chef, and they meet all the helpers, and he shows them all the vegetables and the meat, and how they cut it up, and everything is fresh. And had it so precise in all the measurements and it followed the recipes to the T. And the host says, you see? Everything is perfect. How could it be that the food is a little bit, something a little bit off? And one of the guests looks at the pots in which they're making the food. And he notices that there's a little bit of residue, a little bit of schmutz left on the pot from yesterday and the day before. And it wasn't cleaned 100%. And he says to the Baal boss, look in the pot. You see, the bottom's not clean. That part that's not clean affects everything else. So they put in the food, and they clean it, and then they're cooking it, and there's still something left over that affects the taste of the food. Says the Chavetz Chaim, the mouth has the best ingredients. The mouth, tefillah, Torah. Every day a person wakes up, he davens. Person learns. The mouth is a treasure house. But if it has the residue, and it has that schmutz in it from the Lashon Hara that a person spoke, or from the words that a person said, it affects everything. An episode of tefillah is missing. The Torah is something is lacking if it doesn't come out pure, if the mouth is not pure. The mouth is a treasure. And when a person ruins the treasure, he ruins the tefillah and the Torah as well. But a person whose mouth is Torah, is Kadosh, the tefillah and the Torah are Torah v'Kadosh. You know, at the end of the parasha, the pasuk tells us that a metzayra, actually, a little bit this week's parasha, next week's parasha, a metzayra has to shave all his hair. When a metzayra finally becomes tahar, he has to shave off all of his hair. And the Ben Ishchai writes something very interesting. Why does the metzayra have to shave all his hair? There's a process of becoming tahar, cleanse his body. Why does he have to shave off all his hair? And the Ben Ishchai writes something very, very interesting. He says, hair, the Gemara tells us, how does hair grow? No two hairs grow from the same pore. Ein shnei sairis v'guma achas. You don't have two hairs that grow from the same guma, the same hole, the same pore in a person's skin.
Even the beard?
I think so. But, and if it would be, a person would be able to live. Says the Ben Ishchai, what happens? When a person's head is full of hair, his body is full of hair, he can't tell. All you see is hair. You can't tell what's happening underneath. But when you shave, you can see all the pores. You see each individual pore, and you see the taka, each hair grew from one hole, one pore in the skin. About Lashon Hara, why do people speak Lashon Hara? Jealousy, kina, machlaikis. A person feels that Yenim's taking away from him. Yenim has more. What right does he have? I deserve it. Who is he to have and I don't have? A person feels like someone's infringing on his territory. If you have two hairs going out of one hole, I have my parnasa, and he's infringing on my territory, and he's trying to take away from me. So what do? Mitzvah shaves his hair, and we show him, look at your skin. You see, every hair has its pore. Every hair has its makar, has its source that gives it life. So true when it comes to a person's parnasa, and a person's health, and a person's situation in life. Kadosh Baruch Hu takes care of every single person. One person can't touch and take away what another person is supposed to have. And don't look at somebody else. Everybody has their own hair, grown from their own pore, their own source. Kadosh Baruch Hu supplies to everybody. Don't be jealous of somebody else. Don't think somebody else took away from you. One person can't take away what rightfully belongs to somebody else. So when he sees the hair was shaven off, you show him that each hair has its own makar, its own source, a lesson to the Mitzayru, that each person has his own parnasa, and there's no reason for a person to be jealous of somebody else. The say over a short story, a Yid once came to the Moshe Mikubrin, and he said to him, what should I do? I have a store, and my competitor has a store right next to me. For some reason, my store is not Matzliach. The customers don't come to me, but the customers all come to my neighbor. Help me out with Parnassah. And Moshe Mikubrin told him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help you, but on one condition. Tomorrow, when you go back to your store, and you see customers going into your neighbor's store, and your neighbor has parnasa,
forgive him.
I want you to say, Hashem, thank you for giving another yid parnasa.
Good.
Thank you for giving another yid parnasa. And when you get yourself in the habit of looking good at other people, and you're able to thank Hashem that he gave, that for giving another yid parnasa, and somebody else has parnasa, then you'll be zeicha to have parnasa also. When you have a good eye, you look at others with a good eye, you'll be zeicha to have a good, you'll be zeicha to parnasa. But as long as you're kinnan, you're jealous, and you're bothered by somebody else's atzlacha, it's not going to come. It's not going to come your way. It's only going to come your way if you thank Hashem, and for someone else's parnasa, then Hashem will send you parnasa. The same emotion you could bring when he was younger. He was sick for a while, and he was in a hospital for a long time.
Moshe Feinstein.
No, Moshe Mikubrin. This goes back Europe yet. And he was sick, and before he left, he asked the doctors, what medicine really works? What medicine really works to keep the chayla healthy? And the doctor told him, the truth is, there's so many opinions concerning medicine. This doctor holds that medicine works, that doctor holds this medicine is better, this has side effects, that has side effects, this is better. There's one medicine that works. If the chayla himself feels that he's going to become healthy, and he feels strong, and he believes absolutely that he'll become healthy, he'll be better. That's the best medicine. That's the medicine that helps. If the chayla gives up and he doesn't feel that he will recover, then the chayla is going to go downhill. But if the chayla feels strong and he feels that he'll be recover, that's the best medicine. So Moshe Mikubrin says, when he heard that, it was the biggest lesson to him in Amunah. The person who believes in HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Amunah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps. The person who believes that Hashem will help, that Hashem will take care of him, understands that Hashem is all around, and Hashem watches over him. Such a person is zeicha to brachas. The pasuk says at the end of the parasha, one of the punishments of the Mitzayra is bodod yeshev mechutz l'machaneh mashavai. The Mitzayra sits alone, chutz l'machaneh, perik yud gimel, pasuk memvav. The Mitzayra sits alone. And Rashi tells us, why does the Mitzayra sit alone? Midah k'neged midah. Because what does the Mitzayra do? With his lashon hara, he caused people to have fights and to separate. He caused friction between ishu ishtoi, between a husband and a wife, between a person and his friend. He caused machlokes and people to separate. So, as a punishment, midah k'neged midah, the Mitzayra sits chutz l'machaneh all by himself. That's Tosha Pshat. In the times of Rabbi Yisrael Solanta, there was a magefa, a plague in the city of Vilna. The plague broke out, and unfortunately, people came sick. People died. And when a tzara happens, people tend to make a cheshbon and nefesh to be chayzeh b'tshuva. What are they doing wrong? And to be chayzeh b'tshuva. So in Vilna, during the time of the Magefa, people started making the cheshbonis and tried to correct the wrongs that they did. But unfortunately, there were those people who always blamed the wrong on somebody else. And when they made a cheshbon and nefesh, they figured out what Yenin was doing wrong, what the neighbors are doing wrong. You know when a magefa came? Because the neighbor did this, and he did that, and they did this. If only they would change, everything would be fine. And they forgot to look at themselves. And one person came running into the soul, Salat, and he says, you have to give this person Musa. My neighbor's, you know what is magefa? Because the neighbor did this and this, you have to give him Musa right away. So the soul, Salat, said to him, why does the Mitzayra have to sit along Chutz L'machaneh? The Mitzayra is bodod yeshev mechutz l'machaneh mashavai. Why does the Mitzayra sit alone? Because up until now, the Mitzayra is busy looking at everybody else. He's busy looking what Yenim did wrong, what Yenim is not right, what's wrong by him. The Mitzayra won't look at himself. So in order for him to be able to correct his own bad ways, bodod yeshev is to sit alone. When a person is by himself, and he doesn't have anybody around him, anybody to look at, anybody to find what he's doing wrong, he looks at himself. So Bodhid Yeshiv is a way for the Mitzvah to do tshuva. Because when a person is alone, he looks at himself internally, and the person does tshuva. When a Mitzvah does tshuva, Tzaras goes away, and he's able to come back into the Machane. Every year before Pesach, this time, I like to say over this mashal, because it makes everybody feel good about helping out, preparing for Pesach. For those that don't know, Rosh Chodesh is Shabbos. Pesach is 2 weeks away. So in case nobody realized it, it's time to start helping out for Pesach a little bit.
It's time to start helping out.
If you have to know how, just go home and ask how, and you'll have the answers right away. No problem.
Why?
Okay. So, you know, when it comes time for Pesach, people tend to get carried away, and then people get a little fetchy, and it's hard, and there's the traffic, and it's running around, and this is, and everything's upside down, and it gets very tense. There's this marshal I saw over years ago, and I've said it over many times, and it's always a good marshal to bring out the point. There was once a rich man, and he was traveling around, and he's traveling. One day he ends up in a small little town, and he sees he can't make it to his further destination. It's starting to get dark, the sun is starting to set, and he's going to have to spend the night in this town. So he stops the first person he sees, and he says, tell me, is there an inn, a hotel, somewhere I could stay for the night? I'm from a different town, I'm passing by, I need somewhere to stay for the night. He says, then mister, in this town, there's no inn. This town is so poor. There's no need for an inn in this town.
For what?
It's a very poor town.
Poor. No need for
no inn. A hotel.
Kretschmer. The plaza is not there.
No, a hotel. No hotel to stay in. Okay, he says to the man, there's no way I could stay for the night. A boarding house. In this town, there's no way to stay. He says to the man, can I stay in your house? I need somewhere to stay.
That's part of nowhere, don't you?
He says, I'll tell you the truth. He says, I have nothing. There's hardly enough. My family, I have nowhere for you to stay. I'm very, very sorry. Okay, thank you very much. He stops the next person. I need a place to stay for the night. Can I stay? I'm sorry. There's really no food. I have no food in the house. I can't.
Town
I have
no way.
One after another, everybody turns him down. He starts knocking on the doors. He goes from one house to the other. The answer's the same. They're all, they have nothing. There's no room. Not enough. We have no way to put you up. Finally, he trudges up the hill to the last house in the town. Last chance. Maybe somebody will take him in. He knocks on the door, and the poor man opens the door, and the usher says to him, please, have rachmanis. I need a place to stay for the night. I'm stuck here. Please, please. I know it's hard in this town. I promise you, whatever you give me, I'll give you a gold coin for whatever you do for me. Please, please let me stay. The usher says, listen, I have very little. Please. Okay. The usher says, fine. Here's the deal. I want you to write down everything you do for me. And tomorrow morning when I leave, you'll give me the list. And for every item on the list, I'll give you a gold coin. And he says, okay, fine. What am I going to give him? Some stale bread and herring, fine. Okay. He comes into the house, and supper time. The Ani brings him a stale piece of bread, a piece of old herring. He finds a rotten tomato, and he serves him with a radish, and he serves him some supper. Comes time to go to sleep. A bed, a nechtigatog, a bed. Takes some straw, makes a mat on the floor, throws him some straw to lie down on, some torn, worn out blanket he throws him.
I grew up on straw mattresses.
Okay.
And nobody gave me gold.
You have to wait for the end of the story if you want the gold coin. So he gives him a shmata for a pillow, and he tosses and turns the whole night. He falls asleep for a while. He wakes up at the crack of dawn. Breakfast time. What do you have for breakfast? Maybe we'll find an egg. Maybe the chicken laid an egg. He goes out, he finds an egg, cracks open the egg, he gives him a little bit of salt to the egg, and an old piece of bread, and he gives him, so there's the other half of the rotten tomato and a little bit of onions that he has, and he eats breakfast. Finally he says, time to leave. Where's the list? I'm a man of my word, a gold coin for everything. So Ani writes down on the list, let's see, what did I do? I gave you supper. He writes down supper, bed to sleep, and breakfast. Here, three items on the list. Supper, bed, and breakfast. The usher looks at the list and says, oh, no. I told you to write down everything on the list. Supper, write down stale bread, write down rotten tomato, write down a radish, write down every ingredient that you gave me. So the Ani starts writing the list. Stale bread, tomato, radish, salt, fine. gives him the list. No. Bed. Write down. Straw for the mattress. Blanket. Pillow. Write down every single item. Breakfast. Write down the egg and the salt and the stale bread and the tomato and the onions, whatever you get. And the list grows and grows and grows. And the usher is a man of his word, and he pays the oni a gold coin for every item in the list, and overnight the oni becomes an usher. The nimshel is obvious. Go shopping for Pesach, go prepare for Pesach, making matzahs for Pesach, running around for Pesach, even preparing the Haggadah, learning for Pesach, getting ready for Pesach. If you ask somebody what he did, oh, I went shopping today. What'd you do? Oh, I picked up the matzahs today. No. In Shemayim is a whole different cheshbon. In Shemayim, you drove the car.
You had to fight the traffic.
You had to walk. You had to avoid the traffic. You had to find a parking spot. You had to get out. You had to do the shopping. And suddenly the list grows and grows and grows. And every step of the way, every step that a person does in Shemayim, single step is written down. It's not just I went shopping. You clean the house. What do you do? No, I moved the chairs and I moved the table and I turned over the chair and I had to scrape and clean and I moved this and I had to shrub this and be massaged this and transfer this and take the chametz away and put the Pesach dishes out. Everything from A to Z, the list grows and grows and grows and grows. And every single step that a person takes in Shemayim, it's all written down. And it's schar for every single step that a person takes. And a person can become rich overnight. All the schar that he has for all the preparation that he does. So instead of booking that as a schlep, instead of booking it as a burden preparing for Pesach, what do I have to do today? I have to schlep in. Look at it. Ah, I have so many mitzvahs to do preparing for Pesach. And each step of the way, every step counts. And each one counts, and each one has its own schar. Maybe we'll make it a little easier to prepare for Pesach. This week is Parshas HaChodesh. The Midrash brings down, HaChodesh HaZelachem. This Chodesh is for you. Shmois Rabbah in Perek Tezvov, Midrash writes, HaChodesh HaZelachem, the Chodesh is for you. Shehakoyach Mosor B'yodeinu. The Koyach is, we have the Koyach in our hands. V'akol Nimsa, everything is in our rishus. Ve'ilu yadanu mahu u'mah sheyesh yadanu lasus. If we would know what to do, lahayinu mevatlim afilu regel. We won't waste even a second. Hachodesh is elochem. The chodesh is given over to us. We have the ability to use time. Chodesh Yisrael is l'mayom and azman. Who makes Rosh Chodesh? We do. Who decides when Rosh Chodesh is? Bezdin. Without Bezdin, without Eidim coming for Kedusha Chodesh, there's no Rosh Chodesh. There's no Yom Tov. The Yom Tovim are made by us, are made by Bezdin. The Chedushay Rim writes that Rosh Chodesh, the lesson is, which we all know, that we have the Kayach to renew ourselves. Just like comes Rosh Chodesh, we proclaim the new moon, we proclaim the new month, we have that ability every month to renew ourselves, to start fresh, and not to give up, to start over again. The Beis Avraham writes that when was the mitzvah of Achash Zelachem given? In Mitzrayim, before they left Mitzrayim. That koyach of ischachus to renew ourselves was given to us in Mitzrayim, in the land of Tumah, in the land of Zanos, Memtesh Shari Tumah. Dafka over there was given to us the mitzvah of Achash Zelachem. Many times a person has a hirat shuva, a person wants to change, a person wants to do better. And what happens? The Yetzirah says, come on, who are you fooling? You know you're not going to change. You know you're in this matzah, in that situation, you're in this place, you're with these people, you can't change. That's not ischachus. The way you are, for your matzav, of your situation in life right now, there's no hope for you. HaChodesh HaZelachem. Even when a person's in Mitzrayim, is in Memtesh Shari Tumah, and a person is in such a place, he still has a Koyach Hischachus. A person can always renew himself. A person can always change. A person has that ability to renew himself. Even in such a place. They say over the story, similar stories with different rabbis, but sort of story with the Beis Yisrael today, and this was the version with the Beis Yisrael. Somebody was traveling to Switzerland on business, and he came to the Beis Yisrael to ask him for a bracha before he left. So before he left, the Beis Yisrael took out a watch, and he showed him a watch, and he said, I want you to do me a favor. When you go to Switzerland, buy me such a watch. Bring me back a watch just like this. Okay, fine. The rabbi wants a watch, okay. Bring him back a watch. Okay, so he goes to Switzerland, and he goes into one store, another store, he tries to find a watch, just like the Rebbe wants. Can't find it. And he mamish runs from one store to another store, trying to find a watch, and he can't find it. Finally, his trip is over, he comes back, he goes to the Beis Yisrael, and he apologizes, I'm sorry, slicha, mechila, I went all over, and I couldn't find such a watch. The Rebbe says to him, nah, you think I need a watch? I want you to remember me the whole time. I want you to remember that you have a Rebbe back here, that even though you're away, I want you to remember, and you shouldn't, when you're away, you shouldn't go and do any averis, you should remember where you came from. Person has to remember where you came from. We have to remember who we are. We're all B'nai Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. We have a Kayach, Mischachos, to renew ourselves. And Chodesh Nisan is a month of Mischachos, a month of Kula. HaChodesh HaZelachem, Mishtaka will be Zeichet, to Mischachos, to renew ourselves, to Zeichet, to see the Gula, and Mashiach, Zekenim, Herim, Yimeinu, Amen.